matter of.
Hello, listeners. Welcome back to A Pod of Their Own. This is episode 140 of A Pod of Their Own. I am Allison McCaig, and I'm joined this week by my lovely co-hosts, Linda Surovich. Hello, Linda.
Hey, Allison.
And Maggie Wiggin. Hello, Maggie.
Hi, Allison.
So, usually we've been doing the Mets, who are good, all year long. But this podcast, I don't know, this week doesn't feel good. I think the Mets are still good, but
us work for it.
Yes.
It's been a long time since we've had to work to like be on with this team. And here we are.
The vibes are off is, I guess, the best way to put it.
Like, and I the don't run wanna... production.
Very off.
The vibes and the run production, both very off.
I mean,
not run production. Yeah, what is this run production you speak of?
No such thing.
Above average, quite poor.
Vibes above average. I mean, going back to the last time we recorded, was in the middle of the Dodgers series, and the vibes were very good during the Dodgers series. In fact, they even got better after we recorded, because we were recording during the Wednesday game, which was awesome because that was the Nimmo catch robbing Justin Turner of a game tying homer, the DeGrom on the mound looking really good, and just the Timmy trumpet game. It was all good, and then they won the series after that. So against a potential playoff opponent, they won the series. Mm-hmm. And it seemed good, and it was one of the most exciting series of the year. It was really well contested, close games, all of them, and the Mets ended up winning 2 out of 3. It was very good, and then they won the first game of the National Series too. So I was like, oh good, keep on rolling. And then things went to shit over the weekend. They lost back-to-back 7-1 games to the Nationals, which is just terrible and inexcusable for that to happen. Listen, I mean, every team, even good teams like the Mets, are going to have bad series against a bad team once in a while. But losing to the Nationals on back-to-back days like that at this stage of the game, sort of unacceptable.
Was Scherzer the keeper of the vibes? Like, it all went downhill when he got hurt.
I mean, he's been hurt at other times this year.
True.
So if Scherzer is the keeper of the vibes, it's a new situation.
Development.
His oblique injury didn't sink them when he was hurt for like not quite two months. It was like a month and a half, whatever it was.
Well, and like, I mean, again, the 7 runs allowed in back-to-back games, and then I honestly have lost track of it tonight. I think it's still at 4, but whatever it is, it sucks.
Only like, 4, but the Mets are like being one shut thing. Out.
But yeah, what worries me is I feel like I know the pitching can be fine and will be fine, but like the absolute power outage, like any kind of offensive activity at all, is deeply concerning.
Yes. Although, been the consistent thing.
Yeah, I know the Dodgers are good, but the symptoms of the offensive woes were there too. It's been like, this isn't a recent thing. They've been not hitting for a while, and they've just been getting lucky.
No, yeah. Even during the Dodgers series, it's not like the Mets offense exploded during that series. They won. They lost. Each of the games was decided by a very small margin and a small number of total runs. Neither team went buck wild in any of those games. But, you know, again, like we said, you can chalk that up to like the Dodgers have a very good pitching staff. The Nationals have a terrible pitching staff. The Pirates have a terrible pitching staff. So to see this continue against bad teams is very not good. That's
not really not what you want.
Like, you know, I mean, the back-to-back 7-1 losses, as far as like from the pitching perspective, like one of them happened because Max Scherzer left the game early because of like left side fatigue, which the Mets don't seem super overly concerned about. It's one of those things where he just didn't want to push through something and make it worse. It is concerning that it's the same side that he had this oblique issue earlier in the season. It looks like they might push him back a day. They might not. It's they might skip him once. It's like still up in the air. But Carlos Carrasco looked like a man who was rushed back from his injury for sure on Sunday. Like that was the mark of a pitcher. And I know that we might not be having this conversation if Jeff McNeil hadn't made an error and turned a double play into no outs. And then that inning kind of ballooned on Carrasco, but like he was missing his spots. He didn't look particularly strong or healthy. And I'm very concerned about that in particular. Obviously the offense is the more systemic issue. That's like the real concern right now as they get shut out by the Pirates in the seventh inning as we record this 4-0. But Carrasco is also a concern in my view.
But yeah. Also that decision was also a bit of a head scratcher because Trevor Williams, they could have just started him and let Carrasco have a rehab start.
Agreed. And Trevor Williams has been good this year. Yeah. So like I don't see and he hadn't pitched in like 2 weeks. I don't see the reason
The last game he got into was August 20th. Unless there was something he was hiding that the Mets never told us, but it's like he should have been good to go if you just started him. And yeah, he gave up 2 runs, but he still probably would have been a better option than a very rusty Carrasco.
He looked better than Carrasco did in that game. Yeah. I mean, he gave up more runs, but like it wasn't that bad.
No, he would have at least let it be a competitive game.
Yes.
Than what it turned into.
Yes. Well, all right. Mets, Brandon Nimmo just hit a 2-run homer. So at least the Mets won't get shut out tonight.
Oh, that's nice.
That's dollars for dingers. Ding, ding, ding. Woo! Updating the spreadsheet live as I podcast. That's 4. Here we go.
We're on the Ventura number.
Yes, it does seem especially rude of the Mets to do this in the middle of dollars for dingers. It feels very personal.
It does feel very personal. Think
the least they can do for us is retweet all of our tweets about dollars for dingers.
Yes, I think the least that they
is,
can do.
I think that is how they can make up for their really, really pointed failures on the field, except for Brandon Nimmo. You get a pass.
Well, I also feel like this is my fault because in our Slack, I said, yeah, I'll fatten up on the bad teams. And they have not done that.
Hopefully they'll start.
That would be awesome.
If Alonzo could start, that would help a lot.
Yes, Pete. He's Pete, like
my man.
He's our dollars for dingers mascot, even if he doesn't know it.
Pete's struggling.
Yeah.
I don't think struggling describes it. It's like beyond struggling at this point.
Pete, the problem with Pete is that, I mean, every player, even the best players, has slumps, but Pete's slumps look worse. I don't know how to describe it, but it's like when Pete Alonso slumps, boy, does he slump.
Yeah.
He looks like he's never played baseball before.
He looks real bad when he looks bad.
Yeah. It's like some players like quietly slump. Pete Alonso's not one of those.
Yeah. No.
And even if he is like often his slumps statistically are not the worst. I feel like especially this year, he can grab a couple singles here and there to just keep it from being an absolute like 0 for a million. But it just feels that way. And he always looks so bad.
Yeah.
It doesn't help that he also visibly shows his emotions too. So you're like, oh yeah, he's slumping.
Yeah. And if Pete is sad, if like the team Golden Retriever is sad, then you just know it's
the vibes are gone.
The vibes. Not gone.
Well,
I mean, they are still like mathematically in first place.
Yeah. I mean, the broadcast, the SNY broadcast was actually talking about this with Pete during the broadcast of like, he's the type of guy that puts a lot of pressure on himself. To carry the offense. And when the offense collectively is slumping the way it is now, like he might push himself even a little more. He might press a little bit and that'll make like the existing slump he's already in even worse.
That's always been Pete's issue. Like when he was trying to break the record his rookie year, he pressed for like a month. So I think that's just always been who Pete is. Like it just kind of snowballs when the pressure gets on him.
Although ironically, it was that rookie of the year run that he did eventually like break out of. And he went that whole September, like absolute fire.
Yeah.
So if he could also do it for September this year, that would be great.
Yeah. But I figure we shouldn't spend the entire time dwelling on the Mets' offensive woes, especially not during this Dollars for Dingers. we should talk about some happier things. I've been meaning to do this for a while, but we have gotten a couple of emails in the last few weeks, and I wanted to spend some time on the show this week going over them. And one of them is about Old Timers Day, which we covered last week, but this is a new angle on it, so I kind of wanted to bring this up. So Justin David writes us, "Good morning. I hope you are all well. Any chance you can give out awards to the players from the Old Timers game? Here are my top recommendations. Comeback Player of the Year, Steve Dillon.
Yeah.
Golden Glove, Steve Henderson. Crazy Grit, or any catcher willingly went into a crouch after a career that probably destroyed their knees. Rolaids Relief Award to Jesse Orosco, who looked like he was in a playoff series. MVP, Mookie Wilson, who looked like he could still play with two doubles, a run from second, an amazing run down and left. And I'm afraid an unfortunately and deeply problematic return for return of Reyes. Looking forward to your next broadcast." Thanks for writing, Justin. That's a really fun idea to give away some superlatives, as they say. So I don't know if you two have any ideas for superlatives to give out, but I'd love to hear. Love to hear.
Bartolo needs to win something because he was probably throwing the most heat out there.
Yeah, I think he wins the what is the promo
fastest
that
pitch?
What's the promo that SMY does? The Cholula?
Yeah, the Cholula.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. Bartolo Colon gets the Cholula. I think I would give the Gold Glove to Andy Chavez. He looks like he can still play.
Oh, yeah.
Well, Cliff Floyd, too.
Cliff Floyd looked good, too.
He ripped something. Well, we should have, I gotta say, what's the opposite of a Gold Glove? Because I have to say, like, Kevin Elster probably wins the opposite of that.
Oh, yeah. Like, what material could we make his glove out of? Like,
aluminum glove?
Aluminum, Kevlar.
Lead.
Lead glove.
Poor Kevin Elster.
Poor Kevin Elster. He wins points for style, though.
He did.
Most styling. He deserves his own superlative for most styling.
Yes. Okay. Yes. We'll give him that.
I would approve.
He looked like a cool truck driver. I appreciated him.
His look, but a lot of guys were styling, though.
A lot of guys were styling. Elster gets the award, but there are a lot of honorable mentions there.
I would give Cliff one. I would give Cliff an honorable mention.
Agreed.
Pat Mahomes.
Grandest entrance, Pedro, obviously.
Yes.
Grandest entrance for Pedro was so much fun to watch. He had so much fun. And we talked about this when we talked about Old Timers Day last week, but like everyone just had such a good time. And that was the best part of it.
I don't know. Bobby Valentine should probably get an honorable mention too for that.
Agreed. So those are some of our superlatives.
Spikiest rosin bag would be Turk Wendell.
Agreed.
And I also got to give him points for playing third, too.
Yes, absolutely.
So would that be like an Ohtani award since he played?
Yes, Ohtani award.
But Roger McDowell batted too.
Mm.
So would Roger McDowell get the Ohtani award?
We can have two winners.
Okay.
I think that's
Ohtani
fair.
Ohtani awards. Yeah, so those are... thanks for writing us, Justin. That was really fun. And those are some of our superlatives. We had a great time watching Old Timers Day. I hope everyone else did. The last feel-good thing to happen. One of the last feel-good things to happen.
Womp, womp.
Terrible stretch. Hopefully the Mets will get out of this soon. But we also have another fun email from Ian who wanted to share his walk-off win last week. And I want to share it with you all because it's great. He said, "Hi, I enjoyed the episode about A League of Their Own, even though it reminded me that I need to finish the season. Sorry if we spoiled anything for you, Ian. We didn't mean to." He wanted to share his walk-off win that his daughter was playing in the Maria Pepe baseball tournament on Long Island. And she's a player on the U10 10 and under DC Force team, part of DC Girls Baseball. There's Mets fans in Nats country, which I appreciate as a Mets fan in Nats country. And she plays as number 48, which, you know, good number choice. Ian talked about how they were really excited to travel for the tournament and playing and practicing with the DC girls team has made baseball fun for his kid again, and is helping a lot of girls and young women build their skills in a positive environment. So a lot of wins right there. So Ian, that is so awesome. And we hope your daughter keeps playing baseball and keeps having a good time doing it. I love seeing that. I love seeing little girls play baseball. It's the best. So keep kicking butt to Ian's daughter.
Way to go. We love hearing that. Yeah, and keep us updated too.
Yeah. Send us more emails. We want to hear more about how her career is developing.
That's a day maker right there. That's like one of those things. I think when I saw this in the show notes, I was like, that is just the best story.
Also, keep me updated about when she's playing. I'll come to a game. I'm in DC. I'll come to a game.
And you'll wear a Mets shirt. Like, you should.
I'll wear a DeGrom shirt and I'll say it's for DeGrom, but it's also for your daughter. Because I'm a fan of both. So but that's, thank you for sending us these emails. They are a light during these troubled times for the Mets. So thank you all.
Thank you for your sympathy in our dark times.
Yes.
And please send us more encouraging emails.
Yes.
Please send us more walk-off wins via email. We love them. But you know, in wider baseball news this week, you know, beyond the Mets, there is good news. We mentioned last week on the show that you know, there was a first step toward the minor leaguers unionizing, in the sense that they sent cards to the minor leaguers, and if a certain amount of the minor leaguers signed cards backing a union, then it would go to an election. So this week we learned that more than 50% of minor leaguers have signed cards backing a union, which is great. So that like passes the threshold that they need. So as a result, the MLB Players Association has formally written the commissioner's office and asked the league for voluntary recognition. Now that is probably unlikely to come to pass. The league is probably going to fight this at every step of the way. And they are probably not going to voluntarily recognize the union, but the union is at least trying to get them to recognize the union. So we'll see how that plays out. But it's very exciting. The unionizing of the minor leagues is moving forward. So that's very, very exciting.
Although we should shout out our pro labor king, Francisco Lindor.
Heck yes. Francisco Lindor gave an awesome, awesome quote today about this. And he's one of the, you know, highest ranking players in union leadership, along with Max Scherzer, as we know, because we've been back when the lockout was happening. Remember that? Back when the lockout was happening, we were talking all about this, and you know, Lindor and Scherzer were front and center during those negotiations. And Lindor is front and center again during this. Lindor said to ESPN, "We're seeing how things have worked out over the past decades and how things are going to work in the future. We're heading in the right direction. When I was in the minor leagues, it was so much about forgetting what you're getting paid, forgetting about the travel, just make it to the big leagues and play better. But also, it's not the way to be. Right now, I feel like there's way more awareness and understanding that it's about having better sleep, better travel, better food, better paychecks to help you perform at a higher level. I'm happy we are working to unionize them, help them out. They are the future, and that is the beginning of every baseball player, and they are the future of every major league team. We are hoping to protect them."
Yay. Protect them. Yay. Oh my God.
Way to go, Francisco.
It's literally the meme of, like, you know, the person, like the little cartoon person, like sleeping peacefully in bed, and the person standing over the bed, like taking all those bullets. And it's like Francisco Lindor taking the bullets for the minor leaguers. It's amazing. We love that.
I think it's just a reminder that two of the best paid, if not the best paid players on the team are the ones who are actively working to, like, watch out for those coming behind them. Like, this is not a I got mine team. And that's really awesome because it's not always that way.
Exactly. That is what we love to see. Because unfortunately, like a lot of former major leaguers, I don't think it's a prevalent, again, like as Francisco Lindor said in his quote, and as we've been talking about with this story as a whole, the attitude, a big part of this is about a shift in attitudes. That's what enabled this to happen. But I feel like a lot of former major leaguers, not of the current crop of major leaguers, had that attitude, like very much like I got mine. And we see this same conversation playing out, you know, in national news with regards to student loans as well. Like, I got mine. I don't really care about, you know, you and the next generation. And it's just like such nonsense. Like,
yeah,
it's very silly mentality.
And this kind of like twist on the idea of a meritocracy of like, you know, that part of what makes you worthy is having gone through like all this garbage, and that makes you a better person, because if you weren't like the better, stronger person, you wouldn't have made it through all the garbage.
Yeah.
And it's
yeah.
like, nope, there's other reasons why that happens.
Yeah. I went through all this shit, so you should too. It's just like the worst. Like, why should more people suffer? I would prefer that less people suffer. I would prefer that minor leaguers get a living wage. And yeah, I mean, it sucks that it hasn't already been a thing for a long time, but that doesn't justify more people suffering ever.
And it seems like the larger opinions are going that way.
Yeah, it's good to see. It's good to see this attitude shift. And as we mentioned last week on the show, like support for labor unions as a whole is at an all-time high, because I think that it's not just baseball where these attitudes are shifting. I think it's a national conversation where attitudes are shifting, and that's a positive thing.
Well, in baseball, like historically, has always reflected what's going on in the United States. So this, I think, is just another example of that.
Yeah, very true.
The Iowa Lottery was out there saying on a regular basis, hey folks, check your ticket. Somebody's got $16 million. And it was sort of this mystery. Why hasn't anyone come forward?
I'm Phoebe Judge, host of the podcast Criminal. True stories about people who've done wrong, been wronged, or gotten caught somewhere in the middle, told by people who know them best. Like a man who successfully figured out how to negotiate with his father's kidnappers after some trial and error.
They were just like, for that price, we won't even tell you where he's buried.
And a 12-year-old who solved a family mystery.
There were three little fingerprints. And I remember in junior DA camp, I was like, oh, fingerprints. This is definitely some evidence. Then we can find whoever broke into my grandmother's house.
Discover the unexpected side of true crime.
There were no security alarms whatsoever. The file cabinets were not even locked. So that gave us enough information to plan the actual break-in.
Listen to Criminal now, wherever you get your podcasts.
Side note that has nothing to do with this topic, but Montes de Oca is in the game right now. And I just like, obviously I knew he was already on the team, but it's funny to see his name written on the back of the jersey. It's like one of the more unique names to see written out on the back of the jersey with the lowercase D and E in the middle of his last name with all the rest of the letters capital.
And he did okay his last time out, even though it was a blowout.
Yep. I mean, he just pitched a scoreless inning. So there you go. Good for him.
I mean, if they can catch lightning in a bottle, that could help the bullpen.
That'd be great. Yes.
With the assistance
of a fantastic play from Pete. So shout out to Pete on the defense
there. I have seen Edwin Diaz take batting practice.
Oh my goodness. I don't know about that one.
He is a very strong man.
I could see him bringing a big Tebow energy to the plate. Yeah, that's sort of how I imagine him trying to hit at the plate.
Oh no, he looks good at the plate though. He's ripped some.
Unlike Tebow.
I think he might be a step above of Tebow. Like, I picture him more like Bartolo Colon, just like selling out each pitch and hoping to make contact.
Yeah, right.
But if he does, it would go a long, long way.
I know that pitchers hitting is something we lamented the loss of during the offseason, but I don't want Edwin getting hurt. That would not be good. If there's one player who can't get hurt, it's Edwin Diaz. Although another update from this game, sadly, is that Starling Marte had to leave the game after being hit by a pitch in the hand. And we still don't know the status of him. Other than that, he had to come out of the game. They're going to do images on the hand, see if it's broken. But if Starling Marte has a broken hand, that's really not good for an really already bad. Struggling offense. Starling Marte was one of the few players hitting. So that would be deeply, deeply unfortunate.
Well, especially this time. And this again, time offensive. Too. I mean,
yeah. For dollars for dingers. Offensive to do this to us.
Truly, yeah. Very rude. But also, like, happening in this time of year is doubly bad because I don't really think that he could reliably come back for the postseason.
Right.
Like, if it's a broken hand, depending on what bone is broken, like, I mean, maybe he would be out for a month. And then where's he doing his rehab games? Or are you just sort of like trying to, I guess at that point, you just do some like simulated games and cross your fingers.
Yeah.
But hope's not broken.
No, we need good vibes.
Probably not broken.
No, it's not. It's definitely not broken. Especially after his picture yesterday that he posted.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. That was real.
He blessed us yesterday.
Not safe for work, but
no.
That was a nice photo that Martin.
Although, can we discuss his breakfast?
Yes, his breakfast.
I wasn't looking
at the breakfast. That's the main thing I was looking at, his breakfast.
I wasn't even thinking that there was breakfast in the picture.
Yeah, Linda, enlighten us about his breakfast because
the breakfast was kind of like in the vicinity of other areas. So your eyes kind of pick up on the breakfast. But he had like three different breakfasts.
Well, he's a hardworking gentleman.
And he did not have a short stack of pancakes. He got the full stack of pancakes, and I'm pretty sure they're blueberry because it had a whole bunch of like blueberry goodness goo like dripping down the sides of it.
He burns a lot of calories.
True.
He deserves every one of those blueberries.
He deserves a big stack of pancakes.
Yeah, it was definitely a full stack of blueberry pancakes.
Is a full stack of blueberry pancakes the new tall cold glass of water?
Yes.
All right.
Well, it's been, so we're canonizing that.
Yes.
Excellent. All right.
It's make the title of the episode. It's the title of the episode.
There we go.
That's what's happening.
Thank God we have episode titles or I wouldn't remember all of the ridiculous things that we say.
I know, right? For now, even though it's very, very upsetting that the Mets have decided to go on an offensive nosedive right as we started Dollars for Dingers, that does not mean we are bereft of Dollars for Dingers content. In fact, Brandon Nimmo's home run that he just hit not too long ago put us up over $1,000.
Yeah.
For Dollars for Dingers so far, which is fantastic news. So that's over $1,000 by almost 60 unique pledges. So thank you so much to everyone who has already contributed or already pledged. And as we remind you every week, we will give you Dollars for Dinger updates every week, but it's never too late to pledge yourself. You can make a pledge, go to our pinned tweet, on our Twitter. The link for the Google spreadsheet is right there. You can also go to amazingavenue.com. We have a post on amazingavenue.com that's pretty close to the top about the fundraiser. The link to the Google spreadsheet's also in there if you're not on Twitter. Or you can email us aa.apodoftheirown@gmail.com. Get your pledges in. But yeah, over $1,000 so far already, which is very exciting. But one thing we did want to sort of like do a little mini PSA regarding Dollars for Dingers. We just want people to be mindful about the fact that some people do have trauma histories surrounding this regarding domestic violence. It's very, like, you know, upsetting subject for some people. And even when people's hearts are in the right place, sometimes they make misguided comments or jokes. And just please be careful when you say stuff like that, because some people might get upset. And it's just like not the best time or place. Even if your heart is in the right place, we understand. We're all very excited about this. We want long balls. We want to raise money. We're working really hard at it. We're having a good time, but
we just want to err on the side of thoughtfulness.
Yes.
Thoughtfulness. That's the best way to put it. So thank you everybody who's already pledged. And if you haven't yet and want to, it's not too late. Please make a pledge. We're
and
excited
put the
to make
17th
this.
On your calendar.
Yes.
God, it's going to be so good. We've been talking about it all day, you guys, all day.
Yes, we've been planning this so hard.
There is so much good stuff coming. It's going to be, it sounds very like kind of silly and cliche, but it's definitely going to be the best one yet. Like there's not really any reason to think otherwise.
Yes. I agree.
But we have so many amazing prizes, like better than ever before. And it's going to be a hopping afternoon at Ebb's with the game coming up, and you just can't miss it. Do not miss it.
September 17th, 4:00 p.m. Ebb's, where McKellar used to be on Seaver Way at outside City Field. Be there.
Oh, and we're going to have discounts. If you just buy even so much as a single raffle ticket, you will get a wristband that gives you discounts on food and beverages.
At Ebb's, yes. 15% off if you're...
Yeah, not at City Field. City Field is not giving you any money for...
Sorry, sorry.
We wish. No.
Now we know what to ask for next year.
Our wonderful friends at Ebb's are giving us... Yes. Giving folks who are there to participate in Dollars for Dingers 15% off food and drink. So come see us, get a raffle ticket, get a wristband, and you'll be able to show that wristband to the folks at Ebb's and get a discount on your beer and your food, which is awesome. So please join us. It'll be an awesome time, and we absolutely cannot wait to see you all there. But we will end the show like we always do with walk-off wins, where each of us talks about something that is making us happy this week, baseball related or otherwise. Linda Serovich, what is your walk-off win for this week?
Well, if anybody, I've tweeted it, but I got a new little fuzzy member of the family.
Very exciting.
My cat sitter texted me a week ago now, saying, oh, do you have any interest in a new kitten? Because somebody turned in 3 kittens to her vet, and she was going to take her cat died in June. So she was looking for new cats, and she couldn't take all 3. So she was like, I'll take 2. And if whatever one you don't take, I'll take the others. And so I was like, I don't know how Maddie's going to react. So I went to go meet her, and she was the sweetest little kitten, like just purring. Like she was in the cage in the vet's office, like dogs were all around her, and she was just like looking like, oh, who's that in the cage next to me? Like, oh, is that a friend over there? And I couldn't leave her there. And so I brought her home, and thankfully, like Maddie was more confused about
what's this.
Yeah, you know, she got all bushed when I walked in the door, like, wow. but then she never acted aggressive. She never hissed. She never growled. Like I had Lucy in this separate, because when they named her Fanta because she's part orange. And so, but when I looked at her, she had these like golden eyes. And so that made me think of like the girl with kaleidoscope eyes. So that's why I named her Lucy.
Oh, I just thought she looked like a Lucy. Like you were.
Yeah,
like,
she has Lucy energy.
Yeah, she does have Lucy energy. So that's why I was thinking of Maxie for Scherzer, but because of the eyes too. But they're golden. But she did. She looked like a Lucy. And then Maddie seemed just okay. Like she never, like she seemed herself. Like she wouldn't be, she wasn't pacing or anything. So finally I let them out, and I think poor Lucy was not used to having a big cat come charging at her wanting to play. So they had to work that out. And then Lucy also chases her tail. So Maddie thought a tail was fair game. So Maddie had to learn the hard way that a tail is not a toy. Only Lucy is allowed to play with her own tail. But it's been fun. You know, they were still kind of getting into a routine because today was literally the first day I let Lucy out of the spare bedroom when I wasn't home. Like I've been laying her out before that so I could keep an eye on them. But last night in my spare bedroom, I have a closet and the closet doesn't have a door. And she like completely went nuts. So I was like, okay, I guess you're done being cooped up. Like I couldn't coop her up anymore. So I came home, the apartment's still standing. Nothing was destroyed.
That's good news.
Yeah. So I think now they're going to be little buddies. They were already plotting because they each took a chair at the kitchen table. So I mean, they say it takes a little while for cats to like fully like get used to each other, but it's only been a week and they've already, you know, been okay. They've never fought. Like Lucy hisses when she sees this cat barreling down on her, but then Maddie backed off. So I'm hopeful and I'm happy to have another little fuzzy buddy in my life. And I'll keep you posted on hopefully the peace.
Yes,
for me,
the detente cat update.
The detente.
I'm so happy that Maddie and Lucy are getting along. That's great.
Yeah, that was my big concern, bringing her home. But yeah, so far so good.
That's awesome. Yay, we love cats. Maggie Wiggin, what is your walk-off win for this week?
Oh man, this is a hard question. It's not been like a terrible week. It's just like it is the last week of a month between the end of camp and the start of school. So my walk-off win, I suppose, is that it's the last week before school starts. Specifically, I actually only even technically have one more day where I am fulfilling a double life of stay-at-home mom and work full-time mom. So that is my walk-off win, that on Thursday in 2 days, one day by the time this drops, my younger daughter will be starting kindergarten, which is crazy, crazy. And there must be some mistake because they don't let babies in kindergarten. And someone's going to tell me that she's not a baby. And that's just a lie. But yeah, so she is beyond ready. Oh my God, put that child in kindergarten, please. She's a little cooped up at home these days. And then my son will be going into third grade, which is also crazy. He's like this dude. He calls me bruh. So that's where my life is right now. But yeah, so I guess my walk-off win is school starts in under 48 hours and my kids are wonderful and so, so big and I love them and I will love them even more when they're out of my house ever at all for like even 5 minutes would be great.
Well, awesome. Have a good school year, everybody.
They will. Thank you.
Yes. Happy back to school to all the parents, not to all the teachers who are unhappy. Michael's like frowning at me from across the room. He's not happy about back to school. But the parents are. So my walk-off win for this week is that Michael and I went to the Orioles game on Saturday and the Orioles won, which was very fun. I mean, like, it's crazy. Like, the Orioles are a borderline playoff contender, which no one expected.
It is very nice.
It's been very fun to watch them, to see the fans get really excited and, like, you know, the team to keep like grinding out these wins because they're doing the early Mets season thing where they're like coming from behind all the time and like walking it off all the time. And so it's been very cool to watch them go on this little run that they're on. And I really hope they make the playoffs. It's not only because I just would like to see it, but because it kicks in another extra for dollars for dingers for me if they do. So more money for the National Domestic Violence Hotline if the Orioles make the playoffs.
That seems like a good enough reason for me.
Exactly. But yeah, we just had a really nice time at the game. Did their closer
come in?
No, they were winning by too much. they actually like won rather handily. It was like 8-1 or something by the end.
So I was going to ask if he still does the special entrance.
Yes, he does. Okay. He does. The closer does have a really cool entrance, to like, you know, the like song from The Wire. So that's really cool, and very like Baltimore specific, which we love. The like Omar's Coming song. So yeah, the like little whistle tune. It's very cool, and they do lights for it. Even they do like a little light show
when he comes in.
Yeah, that's really cool.
Although
speaking of him, did you see that like a couple college football teams played Narco?
Yes. Yes, I did see that, which is very funny.
And I just don't want anyone to play it out. I just like, let's let it stay. Let it stay cool. Please don't kill it. It's so close to being killed. Don't do it.
Keep it cool.
Yeah, they did bring in one. I forget what school it was, but they had a girl playing the trumpet. So that was
cool. I like that. Yes.
That was cool.
I'll allow that one.
We'll allow that. That was very cool. That's very cool. So yeah, had a good time at the Orioles game. That's my walk-off win. A day at Camden Yards is always perfect. It's a beautiful baseball stadium.
It really is.
The Mets are playing there next year. So everyone should come to Baltimore to see the Mets play the Orioles next year, because it's a really just beautiful place to take in a ball game. Awesome place.
Did you see the Orioles picked up Jake Reed?
They did. The Orioles did pick up Jake Reed off waivers.
That's more of your, that's up your alley.
My brand is ascending. Yes.
Everything's coming up, Allison.
My brand anyway.
Yeah.
My brand's ascending. It would ascend even more if the Mets would stop doing what they're doing.
Why are you the way that you are?
Gonna force me to hate watch Braves A's later. Don't want to do that. Hopefully next week will be a happier Mets update. But in the meantime, you can go to amazingavenue.com. Check out all of our fantastic content. We have game recaps. We have weekly meters. We have news. We have analysis. We have all of that for you at amazingavenue.com. You can follow Amazing Avenue on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram at Amazing Avenue. You can follow this show on Twitter at A Pod of Their Own. You can follow each of us on Twitter. I am at Petite PhD. Where are you, Linda?
At Linda Servich.
And you, Maggie?
At Maggie162.
You can email the show, aa.apodoftheirown@gmail.com. You can email your pledges to us. You can email more awesome stories about your daughters playing baseball. Please do that.
Yes.
Contact us. We love hearing from you. You can subscribe to the podcast wherever you get your podcasts from. Please rate and review the show. It really helps people find it. The original intro and outro music to this podcast is by Bunga. Let's go Mets. And don't forget, there is no crying in podcasting.